Participation, the Way to Salvation, President Hugh B. Brown, Conference Report, April 1963, pages 89-92, Brethren and Fellow Workers, of the many groups we are asked to address from time to time, there is none more inspiring, but more humbling, than this body of priesthood, thousands of whom we can see and probably tens of thousands whom we cannot see. One approaches the responsibility of a few moments' talk with deep humility and a prayer for divine guidance. I shall speak for a few minutes only, as we are all anxious to hear from President McKay. I certainly congratulate Brother Lee on his excellent presentation of a difficult program, which has taken the committee several years to work out. He has been trying to get us to see it in just a few minutes and has done a very good job of compressing into those few minutes what could well occupy several hours. Among other things, I have been impressed by the fact that it is not easy to be a Latter-day Saint. I notice these charts call for work, work, work on the part of all concerned. In some churches, one man, as has already been indicated, does most of the work. In this church, all of us are expected to participate. Another thing that impressed me as I listened to Brother Lee's explanation of this program that will be carried forward under the direction of the president of the church is that it provides opportunity for everyone who is willing to make some contribution to the cause. We recognize in the church a cause which is greater and more important than we are as individuals, and in it we enjoy the fellowship of our brethren who hold the priesthood. Unless we with them can cooperate in advancing that cause, we shall not make a success of this program. We should all give to this committee not only a vote of thanks by expressing it in words, but a vote of appreciation by putting into operation the work as here outlined and as it will be more fully explained as we go forward. Let no one of us feel or say or think that the brethren are just trying to find something more for us to do. Don't think that because they are trying to find something for us to do because they know there is only one way to salvation. That is by active participation in all teaching, and one of the functions of the priesthood is teaching what the teacher is counts for more than what he says. What we are as members of the priesthood and as missionaries in the field, at home or abroad, means more to those to whom we go than what we teach. So my first thought is, let us be what we teach. The teacher and the truth taught should be of the same pattern. Let each one be an example to all whose lives we touch. Let us recognize in all of our fellow workers some value, some worth, and never forget that each one of them has a heart, has feelings, has ambition, has a certain amount of pride. Therefore, let us never by virtue of the priesthood or the positions we hold trample on the rights or the feelings of our fellow men. Let us never be sharp in what we say to them by way of criticism, but let us be kindly, considerate, and have in our hearts a love for our fellow men, for in each one of them there is value. I read something this morning I'd like to leave with you. Every human life has in it more or less gold, which is usually not readily apparent to the casual observer. Kindness is a part of that gold, the gold of the spirit, that part which is known to others because it has lessened their burdens and made their pathways lovelier. The man who has gold in his life has something that is bigger than anything that can happen to him. He doesn't worry about defeats or obstacles or sorrows, for he knows these are but froth on the river of life to last but a brief time and then be blown away. What matters is not the froth, but the strong, pulsating, ongoing current in the river, which is never disturbed by the leaves floating up at the quiet eddies of the surface. One day you may find that your house of life has collapsed, but in the wreckage you may find the gold which cannot be destroyed, not by the worst disaster, for the gold of life is imperishable and immortal. Search for it in the wreckage, for out of it you can mint new coins. Out of defeat arises the gold of life. Priesthood involves presidency, authority, and power. It involves the right and duty under certain circumstances to reprove others. You remember what the prophet said, reproving betimes with sharpness, and then showing forth increase of love. Let us be very careful about this matter of reproving, and yet part of our duty is to see that there is no iniquity in the church. Again I say, let us be careful how we trample on the feelings of our brothers and sisters. Let us lift them and bless them and benefit them as we go forward and never be guilty of humiliating them or causing them to think that we do not appreciate their work. The next thought I'd like to leave with you is that we must not be deceived by the boom in numbers and dollars and buildings going on in the church. We thank the Lord for them, but they are not the main part of our work. All we need to say on that is that the body without the spirit is dead. As we go forward in the special work of the priesthood, which is missionary work both for the living and the dead, and as we carry the gospel to our friends who are not members of the church, let us try to keep things in proper balance. The revealed order is faith and then repentance and then baptism. A Baptist minister was heard to say about some of his own people recently that the church had recruited some people who had been starched and ironed before they were washed. I think we might take a lesson from that thought and convert the people before we baptize them. Let us read from the Doctrine and Covenants with respect to priesthood. This is a section with which you are more or less familiar, but I never hesitate to refer again to that which has been referred to so often any more than I would hesitate to invite a friend to come to my table when I had only the things that we usually serve at the table. We do not complain much because we do not have something different at every meal. We enjoy that which is set before us if we have an appetite for it. The Lord said, "Come, whoso is faithful unto thee obtaining these two priesthoods of which I have spoken, and the magnifying their calling, are sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of their bodies." Brethren, I bear testimony to the fact that that promise has been realized in the lives of many of us. I know that it has been realized in the life of President David O. McKay, that he has been sanctified by the Spirit unto the renewing of his body, and some of the rest of us are better off today than we were many years ago so far as physical health is concerned, and we attribute that fact to his blessing. They become the sons of Moses and of Aaron and the seed of Abraham, and the church and kingdom, and the elect of God, comma also all they who receive this priesthood receive me, saith the Lord, for he that receiveth my servants receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth my Father, and he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore all that my Father hath shall be given unto him, and this is according to the oath and covenant which belongeth to the priesthood. Therefore, all those who receive the priesthood, receive this oath and covenant of my Father, which he cannot break, neither can it be moved. It is important that we consider occasionally the oath and the covenant which each of us has taken. All who have been baptized and all who hold the priesthood are under covenant to do and refrain from doing certain things. We must remember and keep our covenants, one of which is that we be willing to give of ourselves, our means and all that we have to the upbuilding of the church and kingdom of God. Young fellow workers, deacons and teachers and priests, we who are growing older have great confidence in you, based upon what we believe to be a fact, that you would not now be holding the priesthood unless God had thought you worthy of it and unless he had something for you to do. Each one of you young men who is listening tonight has a future. What that future is to be will depend upon your attitude toward your calling, your faith in yourselves, your belief that there is some gold in you. It is important that you young men and all of us try to refine that gold by active participation and not wait until the house is burned down, and we have passed through the fire. It is very important that every young man make up his mind that he is going to respond to the voice of conscience, that he is going to be true to himself and not yield to the downdrag of any environment in which he may find himself. May I tell a story to illustrate the point that a man must respond to his better self if he is going to be a worthy holder of the priesthood? The story is told that the Arabians, when they are training their horses, put them to a final test of character and stamina. It is said that the finest of the Arabian horses which are kept for breeding stock are trained from the time they are colts to respond to a bell which rings intermittently at the tent of the master. Wherever they are and whatever they are doing, they must run to the tent of the master when the bell rings. Their mothers were taught it before them, and they respond, and the colt, running beside the mother, habitually as time goes on responds to the bell and knows that it is the call of duty. When the colts are 3 years old, they are placed in a corral, a pole corral that they can see through. They are left there 3 days and nights without food or water. At the end of the third day, hay and grain and water are placed just outside the corral. You can imagine the eagerness of the young colts as they look through the bars at the food and water. When the gate is opened, the young colts rush out, and just as they are about to reach the food and water, the bell rings. Only those of them that have stamina enough to respond to the bell and resist the urge of appetite are kept for the breeding stock of the future. Brethren, as we go forward, we become increasingly aware of the fact that there is a bell which rings very frequently throughout life. Sometimes men become unresponsive or hard of hearing and disregard the bell to their own sorrow. You young men are going to hear it many times between now and the time you are our age. We plead with you to resist the call of appetite and passion and hearken to the bell which is your conscience. If you are tempted to do wrong, there will always be something within you saying, "Don't do it." Hearken and respond to that bell, and you will be worthy of the confidence that the President of the Church has in you, worthy to take over the responsibilities now held by your fathers, your brothers, your leaders. God bless you and all of us that we may cooperate with the general authorities, with the stake and ward and mission authorities, and be responsive to their admonitions. The church, your church and my church, is growing in numbers and influence with an accelerating speed beyond anything that we who are older could have imagined in our youth. I am grateful for and testify to the truth of the restored gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.